Canucks Central Thursday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintech studio. Kintech Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. This hour of Canucks Central brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. People might be wondering, why are we starting at 3:07 in the afternoon? Or why we cut in to the middle of the Blue Jays and Boston Red Sox and then cut out of the Blue Jays and Red Sox during the 2 o'clock hour on Sportsnet 650. The answer, Sat,
yeah,
is Bick Nizar did not check the schedule today.
No, he didn't. He was on air at, supposed to be on air at 2 p.m.
People's show was supposed to be on at 2 o'clock, and Bick was like, you know what? I got time.
Yeah.
I'm on at 3 again today.
So he showed up after 2.
Yeah. Filled up his gas tank on the way to work.
He had time. He felt he had time. But he did not have time.
He did not have time. No.
So Bick screwed up, and that's why you got only part of the Blue Jays game. I know some people are happy the Jays game is over. Other people are like, why cut away from the Jays game?
They just took the lead.
What's going on?
They're trying to sweep the Red Sox.
Yeah, and we hold each other accountable on this station.
Yeah.
Whether it's saying, mate. Whether it's saying butt licking, whether it's
what?
Whether it's saying a bunch of different things. We will roast each other when, yes, when we make mistakes, and Bick is going to be forever roasted for not showing up on time.
Will Bick Nizar check the schedule from now on? I would hope so. You know, might want to know when your show's on there, Bick.
Speaking of roasted, I posted a picture on Twitter, but we're looking extra Mario and Luigi today.
Is that what we're doing right now? It's a me, a Mario.
Oh, you're Luigi.
I guess so. I went for my Masters look today. You know, wore the only green shirt that I have in my wardrobe. Bick, I was taping something. As soon as I came out of the studio, Bick says to me, "Like, did you go golfing today?" Like,
so no, a golf shirt.
Just wearing my Masters shirt. You know.
It is green, too. It's so funny.
For Nintendo authenticity, should we get you guys to switch shirts?
Yeah, no.
No?
We're good.
Content?
No.
You should also...
For this edition of the Super Mario Brothers, Luigi is the short one. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've made our own rendition.
I didn't even think about it. I do see the pretty funny photo of Reach. I look depressed. I look like I've been watching the Canucks all season.
Yeah. It's well, you have. So, how'd you get me with that face?
I don't know. Why were you making that face?
I don't know. What is...
He was impressed by something watching the Masters.
It's probably either that or Vlad did something stupid again. All right. We got a big program coming up. Landon Ferraro is going to join us. We've also got Dan Rosen teeing up the, what's starting to shape up as the Stanley Cup playoffs. It seems like almost... all 8 teams are set for each conference, not officially, but pretty close to officially on either side. Let's get to the Open here on Canucks Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Four! That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
It is the Open here on Canucks Central, where we bring the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. The latest is... the Canucks are getting ready to play the Colorado Avalanche, and they will do so with the E officially next to their name in the standings. Last night, in a wild affair, the Minnesota Wild beat the San Jose Sharks 8-7 in overtime. Kirill Kaprizov, freshly back from injury, scores in the extra frame. The Sharks pulled off a 3-goal comeback, similarly to the Vancouver Canucks on Tuesday against the Dallas Stars, but they could not finish the job in overtime like the Canucks did to the Stars. And so, with Minnesota getting those 2 points, the Canucks have been eliminated from Stanley Cup playoff contention.
Joel Eriksson-Ek comes back from injury, scores 4 goals.
Yes.
4.
Yeah.
4.
Pretty insane.
I know some people want him to be a Canuck in the future.
Well, if he's scoring 4 goals, he's probably not getting traded. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, probably not. And then Macklin Celebrini, forever a Canuck.
Mm.
5 points.
Felt that way.
Did everything he could to keep the Canucks playoff hopes alive.
Has the hat trick and everything. He's like, yeah, screw you guys. I want the Canucks to stay in, and I want all this Lane Hutson talk to stop because I'm going to win the Calder.
I'm the guy.
Yeah.
He's like,
I'm him.
He pretty much said that with his performance. But it also is a reminder of how unserious late season hockey is. You know, you have the beginning of the season is like full of excitement and a lot of energy and adrenaline, and then the season like really kicks into a higher and more grinding gear when you get through the middle of it, and then you get to the final 10-12 or especially the final 5-6 when things have pretty much been decided.
Yeah,
you see a lot of unserious hockey. We saw the Stars stop playing. We saw the Canucks look in a malaise in a couple of games here.
Yeah.
You saw the Minnesota-San Jose game, the way they're playing. I mean, that's not proper hockey being played either in so many ways. And, you know, making saves seems like a very difficult thing in a lot of these games. I don't know what the focus is on these goalies. But the hockey's not great this time of year either.
This is why you take offensive statistics in April with a grain of salt.
Exactly.
For as much as, I'm appreciating what Atu Ratu's doing, and I like to see Pugh Suter, playing at a point per game in a way that other top centermen in Vancouver have not been able to do this season. All that is, it's fool's gold is what it is, because you cannot trust in these things when it is April. I like to use the term September baseball. How many guys did we see and have we seen go like, I hit 400 in September. And then what? Then what happened?
And
the other part of that is like guys can go on streaks, right?
Yeah.
Guys can go on a 2-week hot streak or a month hot streak. And then it fades over time. It's about consistency that makes you one of the truly great players.
Well, even Pugh Suter, who's been tremendous, 19 points in his last 20 games, right? 10 goals in that span.
Yeah.
How much are you going to read into that? And a lot of it is well-earned. I think he's shown a lot, and there's a good reason why a lot of people want him to stay, and I want him to stay for the right price. But I don't think he's become a point-per-game player all of a sudden.
Yeah. I would say that it's probably more likely he is not a point-per-game player. Just because he's done it close to it over the last 20 doesn't make him a point-per-game player. And it brings us back to the difficult discussions of the offseason and where it all heads, because that's where you start to focus a little bit. You know, we see it on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. All right, guys, start naming names. Who are the Canucks getting? Troy Terry, Dylan Larkin, offer sheet, Luke Hughes. They can't do that. He's not eligible for an offer sheet.
Yeah.
So I get all that, and people love to hear names. But let's start with where's your confidence level in this front office? If we were to ask people this question 12 months ago, they'd say, wow, I haven't had this much confidence in a Canucks front office since the Gillis era.
The confidence, it's like the presidential approval poll. You know, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good.
It's like a Gennaro Gattuso quote, you know, sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe beep.
Yeah.
Right now, in stark contrast to where the confidence level was 12 months ago, I'd say confidence level isn't so great. You know, a couple of the offseason moves really didn't work out well.
Yeah.
Obviously, the JT Miller trade doesn't look like it's worked out well so far. A lot of people pointing at you should have known Filip Hedl was, a good chance that he could get another head injury and that it could be a real problem for his... All of these questions are valid, and I think the front office, they're not going anywhere. They recently signed extensions.
Yeah.
So they're going to need to have a bounce back to earn the trust and the confidence back of the fan base.
Yeah, and when the Hedl trade was made, the biggest piece obviously was a first round draft pick, and the future piece was Mancini. Hedl was the player who's ready made, has talent, can help you out, but came with a lot of question marks.
And also balanced the salary cap a little bit.
Yeah, same thing you saw with the Horvat trade that took Pavelier back. You saw it even with the Lindholm trade. Kuzmenko went the other way. You've seen a lot of trades like that where there is a contract going the other way. And usually that player is the third best piece in the deal.
Yep.
And in this situation, because of Hedl's potential and the speed and the things that he brings, there was a chance that he could be the second best piece or the best piece in the trade.
Yep.
But it came with massive risk.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day,
So far, it's difficult to say how it's going to work out, but it's concerning because he just suffered his fifth concussion, unlikely to play this season, and it makes you kind of wonder what it means for the future with him. So even a piece that's supposed to move towards the future that you thought, okay, can help you one way, whether it's be a part of the team or you can use as an asset, doesn't look like that's the case at the moment, which brings me to the whole confidence point. How much of it is the confidence in management's acumen, but also just your overall confidence in being able to thread the needle, so to speak, to be able to overcome some of these issues? Like, they don't have a ton of assets. A player they were looking to flip potentially, now maybe they can't.
Yeah.
And there aren't a lot of guys in free agency. It's mm-hmm. going to be a tough trade market as well. You're trying to convince Quinn and add a player or two. My confidence in anybody pulling this off in the next few months would be relatively low.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's impossible. There's a path to do it, multiple paths to do it, and I hope to figure it out, but it's a very difficult task.
Yeah. It's Adam Oates threading a pass through a tight window. Yeah. You know, this is the difficulty is ramped up to 11 in terms of how the Canucks find themselves right now, where they find themselves, how they need to keep Quinn Hughes happy. And, you know, we talked about that situation yesterday. You feel a little bit more confident about that given his comments to Ian McIntyre yesterday. But you know, the glass half full part of it is, and Alvin stated this today with Ian McIntyre in his latest at Sportsnet.ca, their focus is on one area of the roster. You know, they don't have to think about goaltending necessarily. They don't have to think about rounding out the defense because those areas of the roster have been sorted. When they acquired Marcus Pettersson, with the guys they've got coming on defense, they feel comfortable about where they are. Is there a small addition, maybe another Derek Forbert type that comes in over the offseason? Maybe they keep Derek Forbert? Maybe. But for the heavy lifting is done on defense and in goal. And here's what Alvin had to say. We have some really good building blocks here with the young players in the pipeline. I'm pleased with our goalie situation and I'm pleased with our back end. Our focus here is to see if we can improve our forwards group by either trades or free agents. Might have to be both. I don't know why I felt the need to whisper.
But. Yeah, and I mean, and part of it is if you don't bring Besser back,
yeah.
Well, you're not going to be able to find everything via trade. You don't have enough assets.
Mm-hmm.
So to your point, it's going to have to be free agency too. Right? Like I think
you're
going to
need a little bit of both, pal.
You will. You're going to have to. So, but if you keep Besser, then maybe you don't have to dip into the free agent market.
Yeah.
And then your focus is solely, and we'll get to Besser in a second. Mm. That's not so simple, right? But therein lies the rub in all this. Like you need to get better in multiple ways. Like Alvin mentioned, like it's going to be via trade. It's going to have to be via free agency, maybe even offer sheet. Like who knows? Like you have to explore every single avenue because there's going to be a lot of competition for very scarce resources this offseason.
It's hard to say, like put names on it, you know, like it's hard to say who could be available, especially in trade. I think some of that comes down to, you know, is there some teams that have some playoff disappointment and want to look to shake a few things up on their roster? What does Buffalo decide to do? Seattle, some of these other teams that are trying to make a jump in the standings. Sure, you could think of all those things, but as of right now, today, it's hard to see some concrete ideas and names that are going to be out there and available for the Canucks to target via trade. But you're already like, you bring, okay, let's say Pettersson comes back and he's fine and he gets back to some level of Elias Pettersson or mm-hmm. most of what Elias Pettersson used to be, then you've got that sorted out, but you're still two big time forward short, especially with Besser out of the door.
Yeah.
So that makes this a really difficult puzzle to solve. Even with 14-ish million in cap space that the Canucks have going into the summer. And go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and to your point, it gets even harder if you're not bringing Besser back.
Yeah. And here's what Besser had to say about his future with Ian McIntyre today. Honestly, it's unlikely at this point. It sucks. It's unfortunate. I'm just trying to play good hockey, and then I'll worry about everything after that. We all know it's been a roller coaster of a year. There's been a lot of different things. He goes on to talk about not wanting distractions, so he's not even talking to his agent right now about anything. But the piece that sticks out the most there is, and this is his most public comment on the situation since the trade deadline, honestly, it's unlikely at this point about his future staying with the Vancouver Canucks.
I think that's a genuine statement from a player who is pessimistic about the chances of him staying here. And I think that pessimism is founded in evidence that we've all seen.
Yeah.
Because he's been very
open about wanting to stay.
Yeah, and maybe even to his own detriment. We talked about how, you know, as far as leverage goes, when you go out and say, hey, I want to stay, please keep me, essentially, a few times.
Yeah.
You don't care about your leverage. You're stating your clear desire to stay. And that desire was met with, to his and his camp's sense, not good enough offers. I don't know if I want to say that.
Oh, you really want to stay? How does this look as a hometown discount?
Yeah, the Canucks' response was, how badly do you want to stay? Prove it to us.
Yeah.
And I think as much as he's willing to take less, I don't think he's willing to take significantly less.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we find ourselves. And
and we've seen the projections.
Yep.
The analytical projections suggest Brock Besser could be worth as much as $63 million in total value on the open market this summer.
I'm still not convinced he's going to get north of $60 million.
No.
Or high 50s, but could $49-$50 be the range? And as far as we know, at least according to Frank, who mentioned the last offer that was made, was 5 years, $8 million, which was $40 million. So let's say that you can get $50 million,
mm-hmm.
and you're being offered $40 million. There's a $10 million gap.
Yeah,
and
$10 million is still $10 million.
And that might be hypothetical. Yeah. Hypothetical, because we don't know all the details of contract negotiations. We only get a little bit of it, and things may have already been discussed at different points. And Brock did say that he's not even talking to Hank.
Yeah.
And Hankinson, his agent right now, because he doesn't want any distractions until after the season. So what's to say that there have been some discussions that we don't know about, right? But I still think, Reach, that before free agency hits, between now and July 1st, there will be more discussions with Canucks and Besser, and the Canucks will probably initiate that. I don't know if that means he's going to stay, but I've been saying this for a while now. I haven't closed the door, and despite what Besser has said, I don't think that closes the door on Besser staying.
Yeah.
But you need to be able to improve this team significantly, and you also have to be careful with how much you're paying Brock Besser. So it's going to be something really interesting, because you can talk about all the benefits of keeping him, and
yeah.
you talk about, okay, well, if you keep Besser, now you have less money to play with. So it's, there's so many, again, that goes back to the whole confidence thing. The reason the confidence is also somewhat low is because you have to manage so many different things, and every move you make costs you one way or another. Like, yeah, you don't want to keep Besser? Good. You have cap space, but now you're missing a goal scorer. You keep Besser? Well, now you don't have cap space to do other things, but at least you have a goal scorer.
Yeah. And he might be the best goal scorer on the open market this summer, given what free agency is currently looking like. So very difficult for the Canucks to navigate. Quickly in the Canucks Central Roundup, Canucks and Avalanche tonight. Thatcher Demko getting the start yet again it's Kevin Lankinen tonight for the Vancouver Canucks. Patrick Alvin mentioning in that piece with IMAC, which you can find at sportsnet.ca, that he would like Pettersson to spend his summer in Vancouver. Obviously, the team cannot force Pettersson to spend his summer in Vancouver, but the suggestion has been made.
Whew. Yeah, I mean, that's them saying he's going to... if he doesn't stay, it's going to become a big, big talking point. And here's the thing. Like, him staying in Vancouver, them saying him staying in Vancouver doesn't mean that they're saying, don't take a break and don't go on vacation.
Yeah.
But basically, your base of operation should be Vancouver.
We think we can help you with your off-season program.
And that doesn't mean you can't take a week or two to travel the world
do
stuff. You can still do that. It's off-season. You should still do something in the off-season, but don't be in Sweden for 2 months, essentially. Like, have this be your home base.
Dhaliwal reporting that Quinn Hughes and Thatcher Demko will not go to the World Championships, and they've already rejected any asks from U.S. hockey. All right, coming up, Landon Ferraro is going to join us. His take on where things stand with the Vancouver Canucks. That's coming up next on Canuck Central.
Might have to be both. I don't know why I felt the need to whisper. It's going to have to be free.
Hey, how you doing, little mama? Let me whisper in your ear. Tell you something that you might like.
Hitting the most important topics for Vancouver sports fans. The People's Show with Vic Nizar. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.